The much travelled Conor O'Donnell playing for Terenure today, but it wasn't to be for Terenure, and Cork Con take that Division 1 league title. And UL Bohemians, who beat Sligo in controversial fashion in that promotion relegation semi-final last weekend in Anacotti, well, they've been relegated this weekend. They were beaten by Corinthians in the promotion relegation final yesterday in Limerick, 35-21. So UL Bohs will join Sligo in Division 2B next season. That'll be an interesting away trip down to Limerick, to say the very least.
The Rovers Hour on Ocean FM.
Even if the sun ceases to rise, even if the wind stops to blow, but the name of Sligo Rover will shine and shine forever.
So coming up, we will hear from outgoing Sligo Rovers club treasurer David Rowe at the end of a week which saw a change in Sligo Rovers finances. It had been well flanked, but the accounts for the 2023 financial year showing a deficit of some €299,000, and that even with the stupendous €600,000 raised by Sligo Rovers supporters and the local community over the last 12 months, which gives an idea of the scale of the challenge in remaining competitive in the League of Ireland domestic game right now. We'll hear more on that from David Rowe later this hour. But first to the on-the-field action over the past 48 hours. Let's take you back to Weavers Park in County Louth Friday night in the men's SSE Airtricity Premier Division Rovers away trip to Drogheda. Here's a reminder of how it unfolded.
Crucial touch for Moorhan ahead of Darren Markey, and Charlie Wiggett taking no chances there as he sends the ball down towards Drogheda's left-hand corner flag. Heaney boots it up into the air, but straight back towards his own box, and Hayden Cann has to head away Foley now, only as far as Hutchison again. Rovers keeping on the pressure inside the Drogheda half. Fitzgerald wide on the left, gets the ball into the box. Keeney heads away once again. Moorhan nods it down for Conor Malley on the left-hand side of the Drogheda half. Lovely ball with the outside of the boot onto the chest of Waweru. Into the box, Fitzgerald gets a strike away. That's in the back of the net. Sligo Rovers have the lead. And Will Fitzgerald with a lovely strike with the outside of his left boot finds the bottom right corner. A really, really well-worked goal. The Sligo Rovers have taken the lead here in Weavers Park. Will Fitzgerald with his first goal of this season. 6 minutes gone here. Drogheda United 0, Sligo Rovers 1.
I was actually just about to start giving out about Wilson Waweru for the way he chested that down. I don't even know if you could call it a chest down, but the way he kind of controlled it, I thought, oh, why not try and take a touch with your foot? But actually, it fell nicely into Will Fitzgerald's path and he scored. And I'm delighted for Will Fitzgerald because he's actually someone who gives it his all the time. Will Fitzgerald loves playing for Sligo Rovers.
Can just carries it forward and just looks to clip one into the path of Franz Piero, but again Charlie Wiggett hands all over him, lays it off for Davis, skips by two and gets it into the box, lays it off for Piero, but big right boot on that one. And Markey, what a strike! Oh wow, Darren Markey, the ball just rolled to him, sat up absolutely perfect for him, and he just bent it into the top right corner. Drogheda back on level terms in an excellent fashion here as well, thanks to Darren Markey. Malley blocks it. Moorhan can't prevent the corner, still in play. Drogheda still have it, and the referee points to the spot. Niall Moorhan gives away the penalty after Luke Heaney got away from him coming in from the right hand side. It looked like the ball was going out of play for another corner, but Luke Heaney turned on the afterburners to get there. Niall Moorhan just stuck in a boot to try and get there, didn't get the ball, got the man, and now a chance for Franz Piero to get his second goal of the season from the penalty spot.
Disastrous really. Just as we were saying, it's like Rovers needed to kind of pick up. They're just getting caught. As you said, the architects of their own downfall, they're giving, coughing up chances, and here Drogheda have a penalty. It's really, really frustrating.
Piero standing central. Takes a shuffle to his left. A little shimmy too, and steps up to the ball and rolls it into the bottom right corner. A well-taken penalty from Franz Piero has the home side in front here for the first time this evening. And on 69 minutes, Drogheda take the lead in Weavers Park. Drogheda United 2, Sligo Rovers 1. Nobody putting pressure on Jack Keeney, who's able to send it into the Rovers half. Ball falls nicely though to Aaron McNally. Takes a header away from Charlie Wigan, and he's away from Gerard Wilson too. Chops back onto his right, gets a strike, and it's 3 for Drogheda.
McNally off the bench puts the game to bed for Drogheda United. And the match comes to an end. Certainly not what Sligo Rovers will want to hear. But it's finished here in Weavers Park. Drogheda United 3, Sligo Rovers 1. And Jessica Ferry, try and sum that up for us if you can at all.
Two words, Donald, pretty awful. I think it's hugely disappointing because you're looking for a first win in five games. You start the game really well and, you know, I'm kind of reluctant to say that because it was only really for the first 10 minutes, but they did start the game well and, you know, you thought, oh, you've scored after 6 minutes, you just get a second, you know, like frustrate Drogheda, make it difficult for Drogheda, but they didn't do that. And, like, I think after that, once Drogheda settled in front of their home fans, they actually took control of the game. They deserved to get an equaliser on 24 minutes when they did. And, you know, when I look back at it now, I'm looking at my notepad and I'm seeing all the chances Drogheda had in that first half. There was two blocks by Ollie Denham. He got in the way of two really good shots from Drogheda, and Sligo Rovers were probably fortunate in some ways to go into halftime 1-1. I'm sure Russell was dying to get to halftime to have awareness of players to try to find a way to kind of shore up the defence. And you know, whatever happened in the second half, I don't know, but they kind of fell apart. And look, again, they started the second half quite well, but didn't do enough with it and didn't create enough chances, didn't get enough balls in for Wawera up top. And, like, you know, you're looking at it then, you can see the penalty. Look, what can you do? Penalties happen. They can come against the run of play any time, but I think, you know, Drogheda went 2-1 up, and if you look at the scoreline, they deserve to be 2-1 ahead. And they were the only team in the game, to be fair to them, at that point. They got a third with an unbelievable goal from McNally, and look, they deserve the 3 points. It's only a second win for them, but I think from a Sligo Rovers point of view, you're kind of... You didn't want to look back to last year, but last year they had a good start as well, and now you're thinking, God, there's some habits creeping in again, maybe different players, but same mistakes, same kind of trend again, and that's got to be a concern at this point. Hugely disappointing performance more so than the result, because I feel like if you're hard done by, you can turn around and you can say, oh, well, if this had gone differently, then it might have been a different score, but they weren't hard done by, and it was really poor, and I'm really disappointed with that, and I think everybody will be.
That's Jessica Farry with Donal Ryan on Friday night on Ocean FM. Hear the post-match assessment of the Rovers manager, John Russell.
Disappointing results, one we didn't want coming up here. Obviously, a tough venue. And the way the game played out, I was actually really happy with how we played for, well, up until the penalty. You know, just wanted to start the game quickly. We did, got a goal. They get themselves back in with a great strike from Markey, just a long ball, second phase. And, you know, felt going in half-time, you know, we dealt with the aerial balls, we reset the ball, and we looked comfortable, and it was more the same second half, and we did start the second half really well, and, you know, in control. And then they get a moment where it is a penalty, you know, when I get caught wrong side, they go 2-1 up, and the momentum swings in the game, and it's a big moment. The disappointing thing for me as the manager is you've still got 15-20 minutes to get yourself a draw, at least, if not try and go and win the game. We go two up top, and the decision making of the players kept going back into the same areas, poor selection of passes. They knew what the message was at half time: get the ball into wide areas, put the ball in the box. That's what we worked on this week. Did a first half, and then second half, when the chips went against us, decision making was poor, and that decided the game.
Is that a worrying trend when you kind of fall behind in the game in a frustrating manner, like giving away the penalty like that, that the heads just kind of drop like that?
It is. It is disappointing, and it's something that we need to rectify quickly, because, you know, things always go against you at different moments in the season. We're going through a little sticky patch at the moment. Yes, we started well, but the last couple of games, you know, we left points behind us last weekend, and when you do that and then you come away from home and lose a game, all of a sudden things can look a little bit hairy. And, you know, I know the table's tight at the moment, and we're so early in the season, but for us, you need to react in a better way. You have to manage the game. Players have to make better decisions in those moments, and unfortunately we didn't do that tonight, but we need to learn from it.
What is it about Weavers Park, John? It's a place the Rovers have really struggled in the last 18 months or so.
Yeah, we have results wise we've played worse than we did tonight and got beat, and I can take that. but the thing for me is there are positives from the performance. I thought Ellis was excellent first half, jumping out with that midfield. We put pressure on Drogheda. We didn't give them a minute's peace in the ball. We dealt with their early balls. Thought Ollie Denham and Charlie were excellent at the back, dealt with all the long balls. Reese was bombing on. Will did really well in the first half. Unfortunately, he picked up a knock. He stood on his foot. I'd take him off at half time, another body down. But there was positives in terms of the performance, and I think that momentum swing when we gave away the penalty, you know, up until that we were comfortable and we were probably looking at the team that we want to win it, but ultimately we lose the game and it's no points.
Yeah, we were surprised when Will Fitzgerald was taken off at half time. It was a rare start for him this evening. He's had to wait for minutes so far this year. Did really well for the goal as well. So is that another lengthy injury, do you think, or is it too early to tell?
It's too early to tell. He got stood on his big toe. We'll have to send him for a scan and see, but he was in a lot of pain. But look, that was the pleasing thing for Will. He put in a really good shift in the first half, gets his goal, and that's what we want from our attacking players, people chipping in with goals and assists this year. And we've seen that. We've scored a good few goals with Ellis, with Fabrice, now with Will, and I thought Wilson did well up top tonight as well, and that was another positive for us. Led the line, was a threat in behind and dropped in. So from a performance point of view, there was some good stuff, but we're here to win matches, and we could have played poor tonight and won the game and everyone's happy going home. We're not happy losing matches, and we have to learn from the setback of going behind and not applying enough pressure after that.
And finally, John, that's 2 points now from 5 games ahead of another doubleheader coming up in the Showgrounds this time. Are you worried that there's a kind of a slump kind of setting in now?
My word is a slump. Look, a lot of things have gone against us. Yes, we're not happy with the results and the points, but you have to be performance driven, and I felt the performances last weekend were actually good. We didn't get big calls. Like, they got their penalty tonight. We should have had a penalty. I've said it before on the Monday in the first 2 minutes with Ellis and with Wilson on the Friday, and we didn't get it. They got it tonight and go ahead 2-1 instead of us going ahead 2-1 against Dundalk or going ahead against Galway. They're big moments. Tonight, for large parts of the game, we did do well, but then they get the moment. So look, I full belief in the players that we have here. You know, we're going through a sticky patch. We started the season really well. Yes, it is difficult that Nando's out, Simon Power's out, Max is out, Fabrice is out, Will has to come off at half time. You probably don't have like for like replacements for those guys, and you know, the guys that are coming in probably aren't as match sharp as the other lads as well. So look, we're in a little sticky patch at the moment. The only way to do it, to get out of that, is go win on Friday at home, and it's great, we've 2 home games coming up.
John Russell, Sligo Rovers manager, with Donal Ryan after Friday night's 3-1 loss to Drogheda in Louth. Here's the league table. Rovers 12 league games into the season now, and they stay 7th on 14 points. Shelburne, the leaders, they've played a game more, 13, they're on 25 points. Derry City 2nd on 22. Shamrock Rovers 3rd on 20. And Bohemians complete the top 4 on 19 points. Galway United are 5th on 16 points. St. Pat's next on 15. Sligo Rovers in 7th place on 14. And the bottom 3, Waterford on 13. Drogheda United move on to 11. And Dundalk at the bottom on 8 points. Rovers host Waterford next Friday evening at the Showgrounds at 7:45, and then they're at home to St. Pat's the following Bank Holiday Monday, and that Bank Holiday game on Monday week will have a 5 p.m. kickoff. On the women's front, Sligo Rovers still finding points hard to come by in the women's SSE or Tricity Premier Division. Last night they were beaten 1-0 at home to Cork City. Rovers remain third from bottom. Here's the post-match assessment of Rovers boss Tommy Hewitt.
We just didn't turn up today. Cork were worldly winners. Last week's performance against Athlone showed positive signs of where I wanted the girls to be, and today we just genuinely just didn't show up. I thought the first half we were poor. It's probably the poorest I've seen these girls in 3 years. We had a good chat at half time and responded okay in second half, but to give that goal away the way we gave it away, it was a sucker punch. Half time probably was settled for a nil all. I know that's not what people want to hear, but that's how poor we were playing, and we kind of got one or two half chances. But look, again, not take away from Cork, they really, really deserved the win today.
And you mentioned that goal. I suppose the first goal in this league is absolutely massive, and then it makes the task even harder.
Exactly, yeah, because when you go into half time, you're saying to them, like, first of all, we're lucky not to be 1-0 down, and then you say, do not concede early, and as the game goes on, then you'll be hoping might to sneak one. But you're right, first goal is always crucial, and you see Cork there, the battle for every ball, they manage the game very well, and
we just couldn't get a grip of the ball, and I suppose that's football, isn't it?
And we saw, I suppose, one name that was absent from the team sheet is Emma Doherty. Can you tell us more on that?
Yeah, Emma had an unfortunate injury here. She fractured her hand on Thursday night of training, and look, Emma was a massive loss there to the team, but gave the other girls an opportunity. And then we lost Paula at half time. Then, you know, Paula was doing very well in the second half. She's a vocal point to the team as well. And, you know, what's the old saying? It never rains with the pours. But again, we're not going to make that as an excuse. Again, not taken away from Cork. Cork were excellent tonight.
And then looking ahead now to the next game, it's a chance maybe just to get going again on Tuesday night, ready for going for the next game.
Yeah, I spoke to the girls there and I said it from when I came in, we're not going to get too high, we're not going to get too low, we're just going to keep grounded, keep working. And look, the girls are giving me everything, and Tuesday night is another, we'll take time over the next couple of days to refocus, see what we did wrong, try and put them right for next Saturday.
Tommy Hewitt, the Sligo Rovers women's manager. This is the league standings in the women's Premier Division. Galway United, 5 games in, top of the pile, 13 points. Athlone up to second on 10 points. Shelburne are third on 9. Last year's winners, Piemont United, 4th on 7, along with Cork City, who joined them on 7 points after that win at the Showgrounds on Saturday night. Bohemians next on 6 points. Treaty United have 5. Shamrock Rovers in 8th place on 4 points. Sligo Rovers next, they're 9th on 2 points. DLR Waves on 2 points, and Wexford at the foot of the table on a point. And Sligo Rovers go to Ferry Carrick Park in Wexford next Saturday with a 6 p.m. kickoff. Well, next to this week's club AGM of Sligo Rovers Football Club, which took place at the Clayton Hotel in Sligo, the end of year accounts for the 2023 season revealed an operating deficit of €299,000. The accounts were presented at the meeting in the Clayton. The absence of European money last season was a key factor in the reduced income. It was also confirmed that Rovers treasurer David Rowe has stepped down from his role after 15 years with the club. His successor will be the Dublin-based Thomas Casserly. Well, Rowe spoke to our reporter Donal Ryan after stepping down from his role as Sligo Rovers treasurer after 15 seasons, and he reflected on the difficulty of the last 12 months financially.
Financially, we were hurt by not being in Europe. That was about 880,000 of income that we would have had in the previous year. In the Sligo Rovers context, Donal, that's a huge figure. So we also had, you know, the wages have gone up within the league. And I suppose it's harder for a community-based club to compete in that environment. Attendances are up as well. So, you know, attendances are up for us, but they're up, you know,
for everybody else
more. Proportionately more. So if you're living if you're working in or pulling from a population base of a million and a half, you're going to get a bigger bounce than if you're in a population base of 60 or 70 or 80 thousand. So others have benefited more by the attendance increases. We always did phenomenally well given our population base, but that has finite capacity.
I suppose one of the biggest points was the deficit. I think everybody knew that this was coming given the lack of European football, but around €300,000 ballpark is the figure there for that.
Yeah, €299,000. So, yeah, it's a big deficit. And it's not completely unique to our club this year. The factors that we've seen in play or some of the things we've gone through earlier on have been in play throughout the league. So, it's rumoured that the top division clubs have lost between 5 and 7 million between the 10 clubs. So that gives an average loss of 500 to 700 thousand. So, you know, I'm not saying our figure is good. It's not. You know, it's not a good year financially, but we've incurred lower losses than the other clubs. And I suppose, you know, we'd huge expectations, Donal, going into the season. You know, it began to unravel reasonably early on, and you know, we did a pretty responsible job in trying to pull those losses back. So
yeah, just on that as well, I suppose the total expenditure for 2023 came in at 2.36 million, which ended up being down from 2.85 the year before.
Yeah, we took €500,000 out, but then, you know, to be fair, we would have had substantial European related bonuses in the previous year. I think there were 240,000, and we were avoiding the cost of travel and you know, a few things like that. So, you know, with the, I think the cost of running the club, you know, went up. We did our best to kind of contain that, And yeah, we had the lack of European football. So yeah, we did achieve $500,000 in cost savings, but you know, it wasn't enough to keep up with the fall in the income.
And just how bad was it from a financial point of view, given how badly, as you said yourself in your own words, that the season unravelled? How much of a disaster was that, really?
It wasn't a complete disaster, because we went into the season in a strong place where we'd had the benefit of the, you know, the European run the year before. So we went into the season with money in the bank, unusual for Sligo Rovers. And, you know, I suppose what really happened is we eroded, you know, those funds. So, you know, we're you know, our borrowings now are, you know, they're controlled, they're measured. And yes, it's a big loss in the year, but, you know, we went in with that to lose, it's not in any way disastrous or fatal for the club going forward. That, you know, we wouldn't allow that to happen.
I suppose the whole point from everything that was said last night at the AGM as well, and throughout the accounts, just taking a look at it, was that it really underlines how reliant League of Ireland clubs on the whole really are reliant on European football.
Yeah. That's the gravy train, and in fact the money donal for getting into Europe next year has actually gone up quite a lot. It's already gone up. Like when we won the league back in 2012, the prize money was 80,000. It's now, you're now getting a minimum of 800,000 for getting Champions League. So it's gone up 10 times in a 12-year period. It's going up again next year. So it's very much a league of haves and have-nots. If the same clubs are consistently qualifying for Europe, and obviously we had a very good run in Europe, which, you know, we and all the supporters thoroughly enjoyed, and, you know, some fantastic trips and nights last year. That's what we want to get back to. But, you know, we're in that zone financially where, you know, it's going to come maybe every three or four. Of course, we want it to come every year, but it's not going to come every year for Sligo Rovers.
And you mentioned as well, it's a problem all across the league with wage inflation and stuff. I mean, some of the Dublin clubs are able to flex their muscles a little bit more than Sligo Rovers are, per se. I mean, an example was made last year of a player that went from the Northwest to the capital and was on double the money straight away. I mean, it's getting harder and harder for Sligo Rovers to compete with the likes of that. And another example of that as well was the Dublin Derby a couple of weeks ago, with Shamrock Rovers taking in €180,000 on the night.
Yeah, very hard to compete with that. One creates the environment for the other. And also, most of those clubs have benefactors, so they're not really looking, you know. If it's a passive benefactor, you know, Sandra and I were talking earlier about investors. Do you invest in League of Ireland football? I don't think people, you know, really should see it as an investment. But you do have a number of clubs with quite passive benefactors. So, like what happens, Donald, to be honest with you, if they make a 299,000 loss, the benefactor just writes a balancing check and writes it off. So you have both of those factors in play, that you have increased attendances generating more income, like the example that you gave. But if that doesn't work, then there's somebody else to write a balancing check. Now, our model is completely different from that. We're fan-owned, we're fan-funded. Huge strengths in that, but challenges when the bar keeps being raised higher, as it is at the moment.
And how sustainable is the model going forward?
It's sustainable, but I think it's running out of road without the stadium development coming on stream. So, you know, to go through our accounts last night, we are 50% reliant on commercial income and fundraising. We're 25% reliant on gates. And the other 25% comes from various, you know, prize money, various other sources. You know, our fundraising is absolutely phenomenal. It was 593,000 last year. I mean, there isn't another club that's probably doing even 100,000. So I would say we're 10 times the next nearest club, and that's a credit to our supporters and, you know, people on the committee, etc. We're struggling to stay up while the bar keeps being raised, and that mightn't happen forever, but really it needs stadium development, Donald, to get us, you know, generating income from the ground, etc.
And you think maybe when the stadium is developed, however long it takes, maybe if the target of 2028 isn't met, but if it's a couple of years further down the line, that will, how significant will that be in keeping the current model afloat?
It depends on the rest of the environment, to be honest with you, a little bit, and depends where other clubs are, because, you know, your own capability is relevant to the capability elsewhere. But no, I think it's a game changer for us, and I think that it will help Sligo Rovers stay in the top five clubs in the country, which is where we aim to be. And it depends how intelligently we use that investment as well. But it has the capability of keeping us at a top five club, which is, you know, what we're aiming to be.
And on the fundraising as well, as you mentioned there, David, 593,000 raised in 2023 is an absolutely outstanding figure by any stretch. Mm. I mean, just to give a more recent kind of spin on it as well, I suppose, when you look at the most recent fundraiser of Benny's Bull Run, almost 30,000 raised in just 2 weeks. Like, it's absolutely phenomenal what's going on from a fundraising point of view.
Yeah, I mean, people know we're a community-owned, community-funded club. To some extent, we're swimming against the tide here. You know, it costs more to bring players here. We've no benefactor. Our crowds are passionate, but that little bit lower. But the flip side of that, Donal, is we've got an incredible bunch of people around the club, on the committee, the 500 Club, in the Bitter Red Supporters Trust, the Dublin Supporters Club, various other people. The annual draw is a huge success, and there's real buy-in and real kind of local identity. And you know, that's a huge positive. I mean, that figure is astonishing. That is the biggest figure by some distance that has ever been raised. And it shows the appetite for the club and the club stock, I suppose, in the local community. Like, we're a fan-owned club. There are approximately 700 people that own a share each in this club. You can never own more than two shares, you know, without the members changing the rules. So, you know, it's the ordinary people of Sligo and people from the Sligo diaspora that own it. And, you know, there's a massive local identity, and I suppose, you know, that's the benefit of it. But it's an astonishing figure. Absolutely. It's brilliant.
It certainly is. And like I said, it's absolutely outstanding by any stretch. Just another thing as well, David, you mentioned the smaller gates and stuff, and maybe it's like we're having to punch above their weight in comparison with the smaller population and stuff. Do you feel it's kind of a case of build it and they'll come?
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah. I do think that if we had better facilities, you're bringing in more families. Now, we do get a lot of families as it is, and, you know, the development of the women's teams and that side of the game has definitely had a kind of cross-fertilisation effect. But there's no doubt that if we had the stadium, we'd certainly be getting average crowds in and around the 3,500 to 4,000. We're probably about 2,750 at the moment. And we'll certainly get them initially, Donal, for the novelty of a new stadium. It's up to the team, and, you know, up to us to hold on to people. But there'll be a whole raft of activities going on outside the actual, you know, the football. The football men's first team will be 20 times a season, or, you know, 25 times a season at most. So, you know, there's plans for, you know, some commercial income. There's plans for community activities, mothers and toddlers, you know, men's sheds, you know, walking football, all sorts of things. So it'll be a community hub. There's plans for a cafe. You know, there isn't any, there's no cafe in that part of town. So the idea would be that people would be in the showgrounds every day of the week, not just every second Saturday evening.
One thing I want to ask you, David, as well, how valuable or how invaluable really is LOI TV to the club? I'm just looking at the streaming income here in comparison with 2022 and 2023. €53,824 in year ending 2022, and in 2023 it was down to €18,132.
Yeah, so the context, I suppose, is that up to 3 years ago we weren't getting anything for TV. And there's this kind of bizarre situation, Donald, where if you're privileged enough to be given a live TV match, you will end up paying 5,000 to 7,000 in terms of a gate reduction for the privilege of hosting the match. Okay, so that, you know, that's still there, but yeah, the 50,000 was a very good figure in 2022. European matches helped that. So, you know, people both from Sligo and outside Sligo that didn't travel to the away games, or, you know, League of Ireland fans in general, because we were on this, you know, very exciting run and playing away to Motherwell and Viking in Norway, you know, watch Sligo Rovers, because, you know, League of Ireland fans will generally follow all League of Ireland clubs if they're doing well in Europe. So that was a very strong year. The probably 30,000-35,000 would be a more reasonable figure. We do suffer quite a bit. Our League of Ireland TV suffers quite a bit from, I suppose, what's euphemistically known as dodgy boxes and people with illegal access. So there's quite a bit of leakage there.
When there's that, I suppose, significant a drop over the gap of 12 months, it really shows the kind of impact that the dodgy box, as you termed it yourself, has on the service and what the League of Ireland and the FAI are trying to build through that.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd have to say the deal isn't a great deal anyway. You know, if you look at it and compare it to, say, Scottish Premier football, or, you know, even some of the lower leagues in you know, the Finnish league, like, our deal is a way off the pace financially. You know, if you look at race meetings are getting paid for being held or whatever, and it's a slightly different model. But there's at least we're getting something now. Albeit it's diluted by the factor we spoke about, but the scope for huge improvement there, huge improvement.
So where do Sligo Rovers go from here now, David?
Yeah, I think we've a good competitive team this year. We've a thin enough squad. John has recruited very well, John Russell, the manager. We're certainly aiming for top four in Europe. That would be a very good achievement. And I think, you know, we've got to try and stay there at the top table and at the same time nurse along the ground development, which is going at a fair pace. As was said at last night's AGM, people might necessarily see what's happening, but, you know, we've had ground surveys, we've detailed plans drawn up, got funding from the FAI, in fairness, to allow that to happen. And, you know, the next stage in the ground development is announcement of large-scale infrastructure funds. And, you know, that's really the kind of almost the seminal moment in it. So, you know, if we get a reasonably decent allocation there, you know, we're shovel-ready almost. So, so I think the next couple of years are really about staying at the top table, moving along the ground development, and, you know, we've a centenary coming up as well. So, you know, that gives us a good target to have the new stadium opened.
And David Rowe, the outgoing Sligo Rovers club treasurer, speaking to Donal Ryan after this week's AGM, and we've got a breakdown of the main figures and facts on oceanfm.ie that you can digest, or you'll find more info on sligorovers.com.